I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Ezra Levant joins me again. He is the best-selling author of Shakedown, his book on Canadian Human Rights Commissions, and Ethical Oil, his last book, which was on Canada's oil sands. He's a conservative firebrand and activist known for his strident political views. They'll have a new home next week on the Sun News Network. He'll host a nightly primetime program on the network. We'll ask him about that, as well as the current federal election campaign, what he's watching, and what does he think we can expect. EzraLevant.com is his website. The website for Sun News is at sunnewsnetwork.ca. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Ezra Levant. Good morning, Mr. Levant.
Thanks for having me back. I really enjoyed our last talk about ethical oil, and we've got some more news to deal with today.
Yeah, the same. So before we talk about the new show and your role on the network, I'm wondering, does your deal prevent you from, say, supporting a candidate or a party?
Yeah, I mean, obviously my political philosophy is still conservative, and I do have personal friends on that side of the aisle. I have friends on the other side of the aisle, too. But I will not, for example, be a volunteer or a partisan as I was in the last election. The last election, I actually worked in the Conservative Party headquarters in the War Room in Ottawa. This election, I still talk to people on the Tory team, but I am not in league with them.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure even after all this, there will be those in the press and elsewhere who will say that you'll just spout off a certain party's talking points on your program. Is that...
Well, I remain a conservative ideologically, and I will continue to opine from that philosophical perspective. That does not always mean that I'm in lockstep with the Conservative Party, because they're not always ideologically conservative. But let me say something more important than that. My show is an opinion show. It's a commentary. It's labeled as such. I am not passing myself off as a pure as the driven snow reporter. People who watch my show know they're going to get a viewpoint. And that's an important distinction between the way I'm going to approach my show and between how so many people on, say, the CBC approach their shows. The CBC has plenty of opinions, just like I have, but they masquerade them as objective reporting. Example, David Suzuki, who is, I mean, a radical propagandist for one extreme point of view of environmentalism, but he is passed off as a neutral scholar, even, whereas I think most of what he says should be branded commentary. I think so many CBC reporters are indulging their own biases, and sometimes they're partisan biases. For example, Frank Graves, the CBC's so-called independent pollster, admitted last year to giving secret strategic advice to Michael Ignatieff. So that's the difference between me and the CBC. We're both very opinionated, but I actually acknowledge that I'm giving opinions. They pretend they're being straight up.
What about this talk that we've heard ever since this network came about, that it's Fox News North? It has nothing to do with Fox, right?
Correct. In fact, our source of foreign affairs video footage is CNN, mm-hmm. a rival to Fox. I think that a lot of people called us Fox News North before we even aired a single minute of broadcast, because that was their way of insulting us, because in their mind, Fox News means extreme or right-wing or whatever. I take it as a compliment, because Fox News has a greater audience than all three other all-news networks combined in the United States, CNN, MSNBC, and CNBC. So I hope that we are as successful as they are. I hope that we are as talked about as they are. But we're 100% Canadian. We've got nothing to do with them. In fact, we're more Canadian than the CBC is. You may know that when the CBC did their big makeover a few months ago, they hired a foreign firm, whereas our look and feel, our graphics, our music is all Canadian. Our talent is all Canadian. We don't have to fill it with American propaganda. Like, for example, when the CBC aired an anti-oil sands documentary by American filmmaker James Cameron, what are they doing importing U.S. propaganda into Canada? We are more Canadian than the CBC by far.
Now, you mentioned that in the last election campaign you worked in the Conservative War Room.
Yeah.
You're working now with Sun News. How does the campaign look so far, the Conservative campaign at least?
Well, this whole election feels like it's slouching onward despite everyone's Yeah, I mean, I just sense that no one is really delighted to be campaigning. No party is particularly on fire. It seems pointless. You know, the polls show that here we are 2 or 3 weeks into it, and the Conservatives maintain their 10-point lead. It really, the needle hasn't moved. I don't think that the parties in the opposition who voted to bring down the government and call this election, I don't think that they have made their case to the public. Now, let me distinguish that between the public, as measured by pretty much every opinion poll in the last few weeks, and the parliamentary press gallery, which I believe is acting like a political party unto itself. The media party is utterly convinced that Harper is a democracy-destroying devil and tyrant, and that if we can just tell the people about CensusGate, OdaGate, In-N-Out-Gate, Stationery-Gate, Facebook-Gate, then we're going to bring the mighty temple down like Samson pulling the pillars. You know what? They show their own disconnect from the people they claim to serve. I think that if the media were to vote, we would have a liberal majority and an NDP opposition, and the Conservatives would be a rump. I mean, I just don't think that watching the mainstream media report this is a good way of knowing what's going on. They're so focused on process and their own solipsism. Example, we saw the bitching for 2 full days about how many questions the media got to put to the Prime Minister. And it went something like this. First question, Mr. Prime Minister, why are you only giving us 4 questions? Okay, next, second question. Mr. Prime Minister, how come only 2? I mean, they were just so oblivious to how ridiculous they were using their limited number of questions to ask about their limited number of questions instead of to ask about the campaign. It's just, who's really in the bubble, the Prime Minister or the media? The media is in this bizarre world, and that's what's exciting to me. Is I watch the mainstream media, the consensus media, and I think my show's watchword will be watch what all the other guys are doing and then do the opposite. If the CBC is doing it, do the opposite. Wake up every morning and say, what would the Toronto Star do? And then do the opposite. And not only will I think we be far more interesting, but I think we'll be successful as a business. Let me give you some practical examples. I believe that the existing television news media, CTV Newsnet, CBC, have only one point of view that's allowed on the question of man-made global warming. It's David Suzuki's point of view. But I think that the general public is quite skeptical about the theory of man-made global warming. And yet, that point of view is not expressed in the TV media. How about gun control? Both networks and polite opinion in Canada is of the view that having farmers and duck hunters register their long arms is the right thing to do. I just don't think normal people believe that. Normal people don't think we got to lock up those farmers and duck hunters. They know that's not the source of crime. They know it's a placebo. Treating Omar Khadr like a folk hero, basic anti-Americanism, love for the United Nations, anti-military, anti-war on terror, just this, there's about 10 issues where I think the media consensus is out of sync with the public. And so just by following our own gut instead of me-tooing what the MSM is doing, I think we'll be not only far more interesting, but I think we will be a ratings success. Just this morning I had confirmed to me by the BBM, that's the ratings people in Canada,
right,
that the number one all-news channel in Canada is, do you want to guess?
Go ahead.
CNN.
Really?
Just this morning.
Yeah.
CNN. That is a news station based in Atlanta, Georgia. Did you know Atlanta was the capital of the Confederacy in the Civil War? It's the Deep South. So you've got, well, I guess Richmond was. But Atlanta was where the big stand and the fires, and I mean, Atlanta was the heart of the Confederacy.
But
that news channel is beating CBC and CTV. That's bloody embarrassing.
Yeah. But back to the election campaign for just a sec. I mean, so let's take the mainstream media at face value when they talk about ethics and the sort in this government. doesn't that resonate, though, with the public? Don't you think they're worried about the Prime Minister, say, and the people in his government that are clouded by these sort of ethical issues?
You know, I am so glad you raised that. Ethics is a central pillar of this government's brand value to the public. It's how this government finally beat the Liberal series of successes, over AdScam in particular. And yes, I do not deny that each of those things I listed, Census Gate, Oda Gate, Stationary Gate, In-N-Out Gate, Facebook Gate, that each one of them has a wrinkle or more that's uncomfortable. But that's all they are. I mean, take Bruce Carson, the most salacious of the mini scandals.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a former staffer who's engaged to a former prostitute and, you know, I can't even remember the exact details, wanted to lobby someone. That is so many levels lower on the Richter scale of corruption than a massive scheme of fraud to liberate $250 million from government polling and sponsorship and ads. I mean, and the public knows it. And I'm sorry, Jason Kenney's staffer accidentally using government stationery instead of party stationery for a memo. I'm sorry, that is not on the same order of magnitude as Jean Chrétien calling up the president of the Business Development Bank to pressure him to give the loan to a friend. It's just not on the same order. I am not saying that this conservative government is scandal-free. I'm saying the scandals that the opposition is focused on are not important enough to lodge in the minds of Canadians as a reason to throw the bums out. And I think the Liberals know that, so to compensate, they've just added a lot of adjectives to things. I mean, they've actually called Stephen Harper a tyrant and a dictator who's destroying democracy. That's just not credible in the age of a minority government where they could have voted him out at any time. It's just not credible. So they've made up for their lack of argument by simply turning the volume dial up. Again, I'm not saying that there's nothing askew or amiss with Bruce Carson or the wrong letterhead. But I think if those are the greatest criticisms that the opposition can make about this government, that's a pretty meager and thin gruel. I think part of it is that the opposition is being paying too much attention to the consensus media and trying to say things that the consensus media will approve of. I think it would have been to their advantage for the opposition to focus on substantive things like taxes, jobs, debt, foreign policy, what are we doing in Libya, what's the end game, to deal with things that really matter. Even if the media would have ignored them in the short term, I think that focusing on matters of substance would have been to their advantage instead of focusing on the odd sparkly bauble.
Now, I'm interested in what your bosses at Sun News, the network, I mean, it is a television show after all. What did they tell you that your goal will be in the short term, say?
Well, my show has a central theme, that of freedom, where the rights of the individual come into contact with the state. So that's a very particular mandate that I have been tasked to fulfill. And obviously, we want to do that using the highest journalistic standards, namely being factually accurate, current and newsy, and entertaining. And that last point, I think, is something that will be easy to do in comparison with the very bland and vanilla offerings of CBC and CTV. I think that we will be contrarian in our substance, we will be conservative in our substance, but we will also be fun and irreverent. And I don't know, because you're in Vancouver, you don't have the Sun tabloid. The paper called the Vancouver Sun is not a part of our company.
Right.
We're a little bit more like the province in that way. A little bit more fun, a little bit more sassy, a little bit more sexy, myself excluded, of course. And I think that our TV show will be the same way. A little bit conservative, a little bit irreverent, a little bit populist, a little bit patriotic. And that's what you can expect you can expect a network that has a $20 million annual budget as opposed to the CBC's $1 billion annual budget. We literally have 1/50th the money they do. So they spend in a week what we spend all year. So you won't see the kind of extravagant productions that they do. But you know what? They've been doing extravagant productions on CBC Newsworld for more than 20 years. No one's watching. People are preferring to watch news from the Deep South. So, in fact, I think that the government handouts have actually made the CBC worse because they've obviated the need for the CBC to pay attention to viewers and customers. The CBC can indulge any bizarre whim or other personal itch they want to scratch because, I mean, hell, they could put up a test pattern and still get their $1 billion a year from the government. So unlike, let's say, a private sector company like The Sun, where if we ignore our readers, we do so at our financial peril, the CBC doesn't have to pay attention. And even CTV, which is a private company nominally, it is forced on every cable viewer in Canada. Joseph, are you familiar with the concept of mandatory carriage?
Mm-hmm.
The CRTC compels, by force of law, every cable company in Canada and every cable subscriber, that is you, are compelled by law to pay for CTV News Channel and CTV and CBC News Network. Whether you watch them or not, you're paying 54 cents a month for CBC and 14 and a half cents a month for CTV, even if you're not watching it. And I know you're not watching it because almost no one does. So even though CTV is nominally a private company, it actually has been given a government concession and you have to pay a CTV tax of 14 and a half cents a month. That is not good. That sounds good from a money-making point of view, but from a content point of view, that's why people prefer CNN.
And so will Sun News be seen? I mean, you talked about the carriage issue. Have you got pickups across the country?
Well, just last week we received the wonderful news that Shaw
right.
Cable has been the first cable company to carry us. They'll carry us for free for a period of time for all their viewers. So that's millions of people, especially in Western Canada. I understand that other announcements may be coming shortly, which is good because we go to air on Monday.
Yeah.
There is a bit of a conflict of interest, though, because the cable companies have their own content competition. For example, Bell owns CTV News Channel, so we have to negotiate with our competitor to get on their cable system. Rogers owns City TV, so we are competing in content with the people from whom we must negotiate for carriage. So that's one of the problems with living in a government-mandated oligopoly. We do not have the power of compulsion to force ourselves into people's homes like our two incumbent competitors do. You know what, though? That just means we have to be better on the content side. We have to earn viewers rather than force them to pay us.
Now, the show on Monday that you'll be starting, that's called The Source, is it? Is that
that's
correct?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, The Source.
Now, do you have a prediction for May 2nd? Is it a conservative minority or a majority, do you think?
Oh, boy. You know, I don't think we have yet seen what the decisive ballot question is in this election. I just really don't think it's emerged yet. Now, maybe it never will. And maybe the real test of what people will vote on is, did we even need this election? Have the other parties even made the case for going to the polls? And if not, will Harper be returned, perhaps even with 10 or 15 more seats? If things continue on their current trajectory, I think Harper will squeak through with the majority. I think Michael Ignatieff lost his main chance to present himself to voters in a different light. But like I say, 2 weeks is a very long time in politics, and most people have just started to tune in. But if you're forcing me to take a guess right now, I would say, yeah, he'll get 160 to 165 seats. He'll pick up three or four in Newfoundland, maybe one or two more in the Atlantic. I think he'll hold the prairies. I think BC, he might even pick up one or two. And I think Ontario, he might get 10 more. In the 905 area code, I think that Stephen Harper will get a very slim majority if things continue on this trajectory, and I don't think that's a controversial thing to say.
Well, we'll see what will happen on May 2nd, and for sure we'll be watching on Monday. Ezra, I appreciate your time today, and good luck on Monday.
Thanks very much. Talk to you soon.
The Source with Ezra Levant begins Monday night in primetime, weeknights on the Sun News Network. Ezra's own website is ezralevant.com, sunnewsnetwork.ca. Ezra Levant on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.